this is building upon legacies created by the Dubai Expo that happened in 2022. And we are trying to make sure that our successful approach is to reach worldwide audiences via digital, virtual programming, Expo Live programming. And we want to make sure that the time is actually now for an international exposition to bring the world to the heartland of the United States of America. And Minnesota is that place for this exposition to happen. The second message I want to I want to send to the delegate is that I want to send to African delegates is that we want to deepen our relationships with Minnesota. We want to deepen our relationship with the continent. We want to deepen our relationship with our African diaspora community as a long-term partnership to drive about development. One thing I just wanted to make you know is that I also serve on the board on the World Fair Beat Educational Community Fund. And the reason why I joined this board was to make sure that all our diaspora organizations are full participants in the shaping of the Minnesota Expo and to make sure the government in Africa have the resources they actually need to reap from the benefits that this expo has for every African nation.
Basil Ajuo is the leader of the civil society group called Minnesota African United. He spoke with me via Skype from Minnesota.
March is Women's History Month, and there's no better time to celebrate the accomplishments of women. Tell us about the woman that left positive marks in your life. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA is always happy to hear your voice. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
As the world celebrates the achievement of women during this International Women's Month, South Sudan female politicians say they face far more challenges than their male counterparts. Women take competition from influential men, cultural norms, and a lack of political will to support women continue to hold them back in their attempts to participate in politics and gain access to power. For VOA, Waki Simon Wudo reports from the South Sudanese capital, Juba.
48-year-old Member of Parliament Dosmane Joyce Lesok has served in the South Sudan National Legislative Assembly for the past 13 years.
If there is any position that is there, first of all, people will start wrangling between men and women from the county. From the county, you will see that this county maybe want to send some people, and then you will see that a man will come and say that he will be the one taking that position. And if you are not a strong woman, you will not succeed in that position.
Joyce, who rose to prominence during the Sudan general elections of 2010, says a lack of political will from some political parties to respect women's rights and support women leaders poses a big obstacle to women's efforts to rise within South Sudan's power system. Joy says this is the reason the 35% share of government positions allocated to women as part of the affirmative action defined in the revitalized peace agreement is not being respected by the ruling SPLM party. Only one of South Sudan's 10 states has a female governor. Under the provisions in the peace deal, there should be at least 3 female governors. While women do compete in politics and the marketplace, South Sudan's patriarchal society makes women seem weak socially and economically, which limits their sphere of influence in society. Peterson Magola, country representative for UN Women in South Sudan, says the patriarchal society still restricts women's rights in the country. One big example, he says, is the persistence of child marriages. He says despite the law statistics, so child marriages continue to happen at the age of 15.
We are seeing some men not taking their children to school, the girls. And I've given you statistics. Over 70% of the South Sudan women are illiterate. Why? Because some of the men still have these tendencies that they cannot waste several resources on a girl child to go to school. We are continuing to see the issues of the, you know, communal conflicts being, some of them being, you know, driven by cattle raiding and so on, because they still believe that, you know, we can take so many herds of cattle for, you know, to buy a woman. And when this woman is brought, she becomes a property to the man.
Several discussions have been held on the barriers affecting women empowerment and how to combat injustices that continue to hold the women back from rising to positions of power. Magola says more conversations are needed. Mary Akechi-Biore, a former lawmaker from the SPLM party, says it's time women rise up and take up positions of power. She says no one is going to give women what they want or deserve on a silver platter. They are going to have to fight for it.
There's no way you can just get a woman, pick a woman. They have to come out from their houses. They have to come out wherever they are. I'm 100% sure women are qualified. They are educated. We have PhD holders. We have lawyers. We have doctors. We name them all. Even if my own daughter do not like to be a politician, I cannot force her.
Magola says despite the challenges, there is hope that things may change in the future. Transformational programs are being conducted by the government and UN Women that create awareness and educate women on their rights. Magola points out that recently partners finalized the development and review of the country's National Action Plan, which was first developed in 2008.
I mean, the president recently at the Women's Conference came up very strongly and said he's going to support the implementation of all recommendations that came from that conference, and was really pushing a lot in terms of even addressing the issues of patriarchal in the society. And also, we can see even from the leadership that recently a number of conventions, the bills were passed.
Magola says UN Women is implementing a 7-month transformational leadership training project to empower women in South Sudan. He says the initiative focuses on grooming women for various levels of leadership. The project is being conducted in partnership with the University of Juba. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
To Nightline Africa on the English service of the Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotier, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, in the eastern region of Democratic Republic of Congo, the offensive by M23 rebels has pushed thousands of internally displaced people into camps on the outskirts of Goma City in North Kivu province. Overcrowding can lead to the spread of cholera. In the Bulengo camp, 2,125 cases of cholera have been reported in 2 weeks, according to health officials in the city, a situation that worries residents. For viewers, Zanem Neti Zaidi visited Bulengo and has the story.
In this cholera treatment room, set up in the Bulengo camp by Doctors Without Borders, Mikaela Mutumai is caring her 8-year-old daughter, who has diarrhea and vomits regularly. She says that the lack of clean water and latrines in the camp are the main causes of the epidemic. She says before they brought water to the camp, she paid 200 francs or under a dollar for a 20-liter container per day. There was only enough for drinking and cooking, but not enough to wash her children, who remained dirty. In the camp, there were no latrines. They used to relieve themselves in the bush because they had no other choice. Imjibu, the company responsible for water distribution in this part of the city, has increased its deliveries since the cholera outbreak began. The representative of the community, Baleke Buyana Prosper, says every morning 400 people are mobilized to spray the camp with chlorine.
in order to limit the spread of the epidemic.
These
days, when they disinfect, they target the huts and the toilets close to them and also chase away the numerous flies in the camp. They disinfect places where public bins are plastered as well. To prevent the spread of the epidemic throughout the districts of Latver, Emery Muhindo, the head nurse of the Buhimba Health Area, in which the Bulengo camp is located, is calling for health assistance from the Congolese government. He says that at the moment there are already latrines installed, but they are not enough. They are advocating for more latrines and water pipes connected to them. In this camp of internally displaced people, everyone with diarrhea is now considered a suspect case of cholera. Camp residents and leaders are asking all people of goodwill to help the vulnerable population. For VOA Africa, I'm Zane Mnetizaidi in Goma.
Would you like to be famous? Calling us on WhatsApp may gain you fame if we play your message on the radio. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. Here's that number again. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Illegal fishing is a multi-billion dollar global industry closely linked to organized crime. The trade will pose a greater threat to security as climate change warms the world's oceans, according to a report from Britain's Royal United Services Institute. For VOA, Henry Ridgewell has more from London.
Illegal, unreported and unregulated fishing, or IUU fishing, is worth up to $36.4 billion annually and represents up to 33% of the global catch, according to a report from Britain's Royal United Services Institute, a defence and security think tank. As climate change warms the world's oceans, fish stocks move into cooler, deeper waters, and criminal operations are expected to follow. Lauren Young is a co-author of the report.
Chasing those fish stocks as they move, and there's predictions, obviously, or concern that they will move in across, you know, existing maritime boundaries, and, you know, IU actors will pursue them across those boundaries.
That, in turn, will impact local coastal fishing communities. Again, Lauren Young.
As their livelihoods, you know, they become more vulnerable, they may begin engaging more in IU practices, like destructive fishing practices, or engaging in other type of criminal activity as well. There is a nexus with other crime types as well, like narcotics, human trafficking, labour abuses.
Many poorer countries do not have the capacity to police their waters. In parts of Africa and South America, coastal community members say foreign trawlers, including vessels from China, have devastated fish stocks. Alfred Oja is a fisherman from Cameroon.
When the Chinese were not here, at least if a fisherman goes to the sea, he can at least have something good for a day, but for nowadays, it's not really easy for us fishermen. Yeah, things are tough.
China denies its fleets conduct illegal fishing. The United States Coast Guard said in 2021 that IUU fishing had replaced piracy as the leading global maritime security threat. The British report identifies a warming South China Sea as a flashpoint. Already, fishing grounds and maritime boundaries are hotly contested, with frequent armed confrontations. Again, Lauren Young of the Royal United Services Institute.
Many relate to China's commitment to the Nine Dash Line, which is its country's sort of self-declared kind of maritime boundary. And that is, they enforce that through armed fishing militia. That plays into it a lot as well. But those existing tensions there are likely to be exacerbated by climate change. And I mean, that is in line with predictions, you know, as of climate change being this kind of threat multiplier.
This month, United Nations member states agreed to a high seas treaty to protect biodiversity, establishing vast marine protected areas. Again, Lauren Young.
Whilst it's, you know, positive move with climate change that we're looking to protect more, you know, more of the world's oceans, we need to improve our ability to be able to actually monitor and enforce them as well.
The report authors call for governments and multinational bodies to tackle illegal fishing activity based on climate change predictions, enhance vessel monitoring capabilities, and toughen enforcement in recognition of the role the illegal fishing industry plays in wider criminal networks. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Mr. Bagina has been released from a Rwandan prison, according to U.S. officials, after the Rwandan government commuted his prison sentence following diplomatic efforts by the United States. Rusesa Bagina, once a hotel manager in Rwanda's capital Kigali, is credited with saving hundreds of lives during the country's 1994 genocide. His actions inspired the Hollywood film Hotel Rwanda. U.S. officials say Rusesa Bagina was released from prison shortly before midnight Friday and was taken to the residence of the Qatari ambassador in Kigali. They say he will likely stay there a couple of days before flying to Qatar, which helped to broker his release. The 68-year-old Rwandan hotelier-turned-dissident had been jailed in Rwanda since August 2020 when a plane he believed was headed for Burundi instead landed in Kigali. After he left the plane, he was tried and convicted on a number of terrorism-related charges the following year over his ties to an organization opposed to President Paul Kagame's rule. Rusesa Bagina, who denied the charges, was sentenced to 25 years in prison. LGBTQ leader in Uganda says he and others are worried about becoming homeless after the passage of a harsh new anti-gay bill passed by Parliament. The head of the banned group Sexual Minorities Uganda, Frank Mugisha, says he does not own property and could be expelled by landlords, rendering him without a place to live. The new legislation could land LGBTQ people to life in prison for admitting they are gay and be put to death for what the parliament calls aggravated homosexuality, which can include infecting others with HIV. No similar law punishes heterosexual adults for the same actions. Those defending or promoting the LGBT community can serve up to 20 years in prison. 389 legislators supported the bill, and the two that did not were taunted as homosexualists. The move comes amid press reports alleging sodomy in boarding schools. President Yoweri Museveni, who says homosexuality is not African, has not indicated if he will sign the bill. The U.S. and many other Western countries are urging Museveni to block the legislation. Right now, it's time for music from our African collection.
Changu na kikavimba, nikawa kikemeze kina. In star signs, but you're a Gemini. Wait, I mean, every time I look at you, I start to cry. Okay, that's cat, but when I see you, I get butter. Nah, that line be used up way too many times.
Yep.
I wish that I could make the stars speak, just so they could tell of your beauty. Okay. You're heaven sent, but when you smile, you're one hell of a cutie, baby. I'm telling you truly, listen to me, that's just how cool you are. But then again, you're such a hottie, one day, Okarungula. Just joking, boo. I'm just trying to explain that your love is like amnesia. It makes me forget pain, forget plain. I'm here to be loyal, boo. I'll never break your heart, but rest assured, I'm here to spoil you. It's just you and I, baby. In the world of our own, where this love is our home, my love is who I die for you. Ain't nothing can stop me. My love is the truth to you. You get the gist of being like you should not exist. That's why they hate that you're my boo. I see them hurt, them haters pissed. It's like they sharing cuticles. Baby, you are beautiful. At times I brag to myself, I brag me the unusual. I mean it, girl. Your type is not seen underneath. Baby, you a goddess. There ain't nothing they could tell me. I hope you know how great you are. I hope I make you feel it too. I know I get crazy with love, but it's hard to conceal it, boo. You make me wanna touch the sun.
Too much? Okay.
Well, that's just how you got me, son. You get my thoughts an endless run. You will always be the one that I wanna come home to. I don't need no other. Yeah, I told you you're my go-to. It's just you and I, baby. In the world of our own, where this love is our home, my love is who I die for you. Ain't nothing can change the way I feel. My love is the root.
That was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it. Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of The Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hovey, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, a paddle here, a paddle there, the canoe stays still. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C.